SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Greenwich, New York, for the first time in 3 weeks. A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Happy to be home. I usually come back from this kind of trip, and spring is at our doorstep, but I guess maybe when we were away, spring came to the doorstep, knocked on the door, nobody answered, and left. Ridiculous. Everywhere, actually. Everywhere. Yeah, I was in Memphis yesterday, and 40, just awful. Come on already. Hopefully the trip to Kentucky will be the tonic and will be the formula. Because, boy, if it isn't spring by the time you get back from Derby, something really is wrong. Well, the trip to Louisville is set for a lot of horses and unfortunately canceled for one horse. A lot of interesting results and circumstances to help put together Derby and Oaks Fields for the first Friday and Saturday in May. The Oaklawn 2018 season concludes, as it always does, with a flourish, with a mammoth crowd at Hot Springs, a wonderful weekend, and just can't say enough about being in Hot Springs, second time for me, in some cases, people that make a trip annually for the Racing Festival of the South, the countless Derby experience. But first and foremost, a big thank you to everybody that makes it so much fun to go to Oaklawn, and the Sellers, of course, and the staff, Jennifer Hoyt, who does an unbelievable job for the media side and communications, and just a place that has got to be on everybody's list, if it isn't already, to get to. Just a wonderful experience. And then there's the horse players and the fans that are incredibly friendly and just, I use the word gracious, and it's a delight to go there. And now the focus on what's ahead. And when I put out that working list of the Derby field on Saturday night, as soon as I got to Memphis, it was the first order of business before going out and getting a tremendous half rack of ribs at Marlowe's. I was over by Graceland. I stayed by, you know, fairly close to the airport, and couldn't help. my second drive-by, at some point I guess I have to go in and see Graceland, but going to Memphis is a very nice coda to the whole experience. But when I put out that working list of the 20 horses, which unfortunately featured the departure of Runaway Ghost, and Feel Terrible for Joe Peacock and Todd Fincher and Tracy Hebert, very, very faint cannon bone, bruise, fracture, Fincher saying, you know, just coming out of his work, the shin, he's displayed the issue and it was discovered. So no Derby for the Sunland Ghost, the Sunland Derby winner, Runaway Ghost. And that provided a very quick and up and down for Jason Service and Ron Lombardi with Firenze Fire, who at first was going to be squeezed out and then was able to return into the body of the Derby field. That was made to happen with the results from the Lexington. My boy Jack with a tremendous ride by Kent DeSormo. If you have not, if you only saw the race live or if you were watching it, you know, in a spot where you really couldn't take it all in, Kent DeSormo with a absolutely masterful performance aboard Brother Keith's Creative Cause, and he saved ground, launched the bid right on the right time, and just really, I watched it again this morning because it was really something. The race went off very close, in close proximity to, I think it was, must have been the Northern Spur, and so you know, watched it very quickly and hadn't myself had a chance to really go back and see everything that happened. But my boy Jack stamps himself and gets in, and even though those connections were concerned or would have preferred to get into the race without having to run, I think they'll end up being very happy with this. There won't be a lot that they'll need to do, obviously, with my boy Jack. And the same, of course, can be said for Todd Pletcher, the Lowe's, and Magnum Moon. And Magnum Moon with a very emphatic performance to win the Arkansas Derby. And Todd Pletcher accomplishing something quite remarkable. If you've been following Jay Privman's analysis, Jay actually was out ahead of this when it became apparent that going into last weekend that Pletcher had a chance to do something unique. Bobby Frankel had won the four of the biggest preps, the penultimate starts before Derby, but he did it with two horses, with Empire Maker and Peace Rules. This has really been a brilliant spring campaign for his three-year-olds as Pletcher rounds out the lead-up to Churchill, Magnum Moon, Audible, Noble Indy, Vino Rosso. And actually just looking down on the points system, that's four of the top five, logically, with the 100-point races. But really, a heady accomplishment. And all of these horses, still waiting for a rider decision on Noble Indy. That is supposed to come this morning. The expectation is that Tom Pletcher will make the decision. Maybe, like last week, we expect to talk to him before we wrap up today in that 11:40, 11:45 slot. And the leading candidate appears to be Tyler Gaffalione, you would think. So we'll wait for that. But in the meantime, Magnum Moon's win, Quip with a very solid effort, chasing second, Solomini grinding as he does into a slow pace. This was a very slow pace, and we'll talk about that when we address the Fig, a 98 buyer for Magnum Moon in the Arkansas Derby, and that was a pace-adjusted Fig. The win by Magnum Moon really put an exclamation point on the Arkansas flavor of the whole day. And I wrote about that yesterday, noting that between the Lowe's, Robert and Luana Lowe, of course, we had that conversation with Dan Pites and invoked the memory of Steppenwolfer. For them, it's a very special win right there at Oaklawn. But that was only one of four very notable sets of connections that are the call Arkansas and call Oaklawn their home. And Mr. Horton, Willis Horton, with a pair of maiden wins on the card, two of the four maiden, those good maiden races, and Alex Lieblong, Alex and Joanne Lieblong, they had that powerful ally. Nice win for them. And John Ed Anthony, about as high profile an Arkansas connection as there is. Big win for him with High North. Midnight Loot, just unstoppable. Midnight Loot is on fire. Another stake winner for him. So it was a very, there were a lot of, and not just, you know what, I'm not thinking about it, the whole region. There was also the Oklahoma connections, the Warrens as well, City of Light. How about that performance in the Oaklawn Handicap? We'll talk to Michael McCarthy again. And boy, Michael McCarthy really enjoying a terrific winter and into spring. Got a horse that most likely will head to the Met Mile. It's a big win for Mr. Warren. And in fact, there was a very interesting, I thought a very notable quote from Warren, that he was getting frustrated. And he, got to mention, he's a tough owner. He's got a reputation as a tough owner to please. But I did see the quote that he said he was getting ready to pack it in. And don't forget, you know, he's campaigned some very nice. He has had nice horses, the Warrens, including St. Liam. And I did mention at the time in the Malibu, when City of Light won the Malibu, that was the first Grade One winner since St. Liam for the Warrens. But this is a serious horse, and nothing wrong with the effort of Accelerate, but the way in which City Light made the two turns, for those that, you know, wondered, thought, well, you know, he's stretching him out, he's looked so good, the triple bend and Malibu, well, 107 buyer for him and Accelerate. And they were, what, a dozen lengths clear of Untrapped and the rest of that field. I mean, the two West Coast horses just ran away from that group. It was a tremendous day of racing, and got to fold in the weekend. Todd Pletcher swept the Grade Ones, the highlights, the features on both cards. Go back to Friday. Unbridled Mo wins the Apple Blossom. And the unique Bella portion of this, I suppose everybody should just be happy that she didn't get hurt. If you haven't seen the photograph of her splayed in the starting gate, I mean, her legs akimbo, right? That's the akimbo was crafted for just that specific spot, for exactly that, for that situation. She, whether the ground slipped out from under her, you could see the just hopeless, and the horses can get hurt in that scenario. And she, there was nothing wrong with the effort she turned in subsequently. Smith, I know, so I guess I didn't really see people complaining about that. Smith rushed her in. He didn't rush her in. She kind of wanted to get to the front. And And she did. And she was certainly vulnerable, logically, at the end. But for Unbridled Mull and the Brunettis, Red Oak, the white jacket with those red dots, yeah, that's a wonderful win for them in the wake of John Brunetti's passing. So big weekend for the Pletcher Barn, sweeping the two racing festival features. Speaking of grade ones and features, going back to Friday, how about Brian Lynch and the Hamiltons? Heart to heart. It's hard to believe that he could be getting better at this point. It's incredible. We'll talk to Brian at the bottom of the hour. And I mentioned McCarthy. Johnny D, of course. Top of hour two. We'll get Johnny's take as we head toward Derby. See how he fared. Brian Bouye will join us at the top of hour three from the Hall of Fame, National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame. Announcement today, 11 o'clock. We'll see who's getting into the hall through the main voting apparatus. And then got to include the visit by Tim Layton. Tim will join us at 10:30 to pay tribute to Bill Knack. Bill Knack Friday night after a cancer bout. A writer that was just exceptional. A fascinating person to be around, to listen to. Most closely, for racing purposes, most closely obviously associated with Secretariat, but more Ruffian, and just anything he wrote about, not just in the sport we enjoy, but really any time he started to peck on the keys. Just a huge outpouring of appreciation for the work and life of Bill Knack and Tim Layton of Sports Illustrated to talk about him. Let's take a break here. Come back, more of the weekend recapping at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
What are most horsemen looking for?
Access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 384643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
To keep my hands on myself.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in. Just looking at the record of heart to heart. It's pretty funny that here was a horse that took forever to get that elusive grade one, and then he wins another one right back to back. Pretty funny. We'll talk to Lidgey and Michael McCarthy in the next half hour. A few more of the performances of note, and we'll catch up with as many sets of connections as possible. And it's funny, we've had certain people that seem to be showing up on a weekly basis beside Todd Pletcher. Brad Cox with the two wins Friday and Saturday. And frankly, Friday, for all the concern and the weather, you know, for the people that were saying or thinking, well, I guess that bad weather at Hot Springs never materialized. It materialized. It just so happens that it materialized most after racing ended on Friday night. In fact, it was very funny. On Saturday, I went down to get coffee. I was staying out at the lake, and this was after I had to take a bath towel to soak up the rain that had come in. The rain was hitting the window perpendicular. It was, and the thunder, which woke me up, I don't know, it must have been about 1 o'clock or 12:30, and then again at 2:30, and I went down and I heard some guy saying there are two couples, and I heard him say, I guess the rain really never came. They must not have rained much heavy. I was like, what? Rain much heavy? There was 3 inches of rain, and the storms, quite luckily, you know, came overnight, and thank goodness. I mean, there was the rain that, you know, the track took some rain on Friday, but it wasn't nearly what everybody was worried about. And I don't know how. I sent out a note Saturday morning. Somehow, Kevin Seymour, the track superintendent, and yes, Oaklawn has got that same composition as Churchill with the clay, and the clay helps the water dissipate, and it's just amazing how he got that track good for the first race. And then I think by the third, I forgot to check it. I guess I could look on the charts, but I think by the third race, the track was fast. amazing, amazing. And they must have been out all night long. At first, of course, they had it sealed, and they must have kept squeezing the water off. And then the Harrows were – Jim Dunleavy was there before I was for DRF, and Dunleavy sent out a picture that they were harrowing by, I think, like 8 o'clock. Amazing. And then the wind, they did get a lot of help from some nice wind, and there was even sun for a while, and then the sun went away, and it started to get cool in the late afternoon. It was plenty cool. But amazing job to get that track fast the way they did. And, you know, wasn't, you know, some of the concerns about, you know, you think maybe, you know, you get heavy rain like that and you get a track that's been floated and sealed, it has a tendency to get slick. Well, it certainly didn't seem to hurt Whitmore from rallying. Congratulations to the ownership partners there, Ron Moquette and his son, handling the paddock duties. And Whitmore, I mean, when he does that, when he does what he did, in terms of closing like a freight train when looking beaten at the eighth pole, quite something. And he absolutely exploded. And Santana, at this racetrack, is just tremendous. And he knows exactly when to move and what a great meet he had. Of course, over the weekend, over I lost track. Was it Friday or Saturday? Or Friday or Thursday? 1,000th win of his career. But Whitmore is now 6-9 and never off the board. And I think a 102 in the FIG department. A great way for Ron Moquette and team to close out the season. That Wilbo for Chris Hartman ran a very nice race. I mean, he ran a winning race, and that race was exactly, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes you think about pace, and even with a small field, you think about pace and the way it looks on paper, and that's exactly how it played out with, you know, a serious, 21-4, 45-3. And it seemed unlikely that a horse on the lead was going to be able to win. And Whitmore did get that, you know, that I thought he'd be a little closer behind the speed, but Santana left in his hands, worked out just fine. I mentioned Brad Cox, and of course, High North wins the Northern Spur, and that ended up being turned into a battle between him and the Baffert stretch out Ike. And Ike looks like he'll be, he's a painter, and looks like he'll be okay. But this is a big win for High North. And as I mentioned, John Ed Anthony, operating under the short leaf stable these last few years, when he came back to the game. And this was kind of what they were hoping for. We'll see what Brad Cox, what his thoughts are. You know, they talked about maybe Preakness with him, and he disappointed. You know, after the solid effort in the Risen Star to start his season, even at 23-1, yeah, it was a big price, but there were some people kind of thinking that High North was going to take a logical next step. This was a smart maneuver to take a little bit of a class relief and reset things. He is a May foal, and High North, I thought, you know, that both the High North and Ike were good. I got to mention, I did not get, I said it on Friday, and why Title Ready was 3-2, right, morning line, and why he was, that was mystifying. Yes, he was one of the ones that could win, but to think that he was going to be even money in that group was bizarre. So that was one of the better betting opportunities of as things turned out, and it was a good start you know, to get 1180 on High North, I mean, this was a, you know, the sequence didn't pay. It was, I think, $88 for, I put it together. It's funny, I saw that Craig Bukowski from Timeform, Craig had the same ticket I did, a $60 pick four ticket that returned 88. Had a good day at Keeneland. Keeneland was a nice, there were some nice numbers to trade off there. But certainly that sequence, you know, with Magnum Moon, I thought both Magnum Moon and My Boy Jack, you know, I've had this approach really the last several weeks where to me it looked like the prep horses were, you know, really a notch above. And that you could trade off them and bet off them. City of Light at 1140 ended up being a nice price. Accelerate was close to even money, and that, you know, that was understandable. Hedge Fund disappointed at 7-2. Didn't have a great start, and clearly looks like a horse that needs to be on. If he doesn't get the lead, he may be a bit of a powder, based on what we saw. But to complete the Brad Cox conversation, Sassy Sienna. And Sassy Sienna, a $25 winner. Wonder Gadot looked like she was going to just keep going and get past Amy's Challenge and Sassy Sienna, but she seems to idle. She seems to be one of these horses that gets up to the lead, doesn't think she should be there, and didn't punch through. But it's not going to stop her from getting to Oaks. But Sassy Sienna, she hit the walk-off home run here. This is a tremendous win for the Medallion team, Jerry McClanahan, and this midshipman filly, and out of a Pleasant Tap mare. So she's got every tap for gold, every reason to have enjoyed the stretch out and even further. We'll see. So Brad Cox heads to the Oaks. Pretty well armed, right? He's got both Sassy Sienna and Monomoy Girl. not a bad 1-2 punch. And as it happens, one of our partners on Carlisle Bell, Ed Kelly, Ed's part of that group, and he's beside himself. He already won a Derby with West Point, so he was one of the big portions of West Point's part of Always Dreaming, and he came into the game with us at DT way back when we started. And in fact, I should mention Carlisle Bell, she ran fine, as we expected. It was too short, but we had to run. I mean, I've been waiting almost a month to run, so we'll hopefully get a mile race to go. But she was flying late, and 6 furlongs just, you know, was going to be too short. But she ran all right. Came out great. So we'll look to Belmont. And Ed, the two races were within half an hour of each other, actually. So Ed was looking for a double. But he'll head back to Kentucky, this time with a chance in the Oaks. Great job, Ed. So we'll talk to Brad Cox a little later. And we'll go over that Oaks field, too, that is now pretty well set. Let's take the bottom of the hour break. We'll come back. Brian Lynch will start the conversations with Connections. A little bit after that, Michael McCarthy, City of Light, Johnny D, much, much more at the races. Sirius XM. Brian Lynch to talk about the just remarkable heart-to-heart. Now it's piling on at this point. The English Channel. They wanted a grade one, help him get a stud career. Well, now they got two grade ones, and they're not done yet. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
My sweet summer's gone, and on my mind she made it clear her lipstick can't be wrong. My summer, summer, my sweet summer is gone.
Well, we usually play this. We usually play this at the end of Saratoga, or when it's very clear that the warm weather is leaving. We'd like to know when the warm weather is going to show up, and so would Brian Lynch, who is apparently huddled over a hot plate in a tack room. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. And we were so lucky the other day for the weather to turn good for us on Friday, because since then it's just, you think you're in the Antarctica.
It's ridiculous. I got back to Saratoga, to the area, last night after being in California for and Arizona for almost 2 weeks, and then Hot Springs, where it was chilly, but it was okay.
Yeah.
It snowed here last night. We got another dusting of snow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, it's sleeting snow at Keeneland as we speak.
Unbelievable. This is just nuts. Well, the good news is the Oklahoma is open. So summer has to arrive at some point. And
it's got it.
There's, yeah. I got to say, you know, now you're just showing off, because you wanted a grade one for heart to heart. You got it. Now he's got back-to-back grade ones. How can this horse be getting better at his age?
Yeah, he's just in great order, Steve. After he came out of the Gulfstream Park handicap, we trained on with him with the Maker's Mark in mind. You know, every time we gave him a piece of work leading up to the Maker's Mark, I would say to my staff, "My God, I think he's better than he's ever been." And this week, leading up to the Maker's Mark, he's sort of an unassuming little horse. You really wouldn't know he's in your barn. He's such an easy keeper. But all week, he was at the front of his stall, playing with his hay net. Everything. He put every indication to say that he was sitting on a big one there the other day, and he certainly turned it on.
I continually amused, and we've talked about this over. Now we can say, I mean, over the years, because it's years we're talking about him. He's 7 years old. And even at this late stage, at this late date, people still, after he crosses the wire, say, "Oh, my God, how did he get – he did it again. He got an easy lead." It's like it's obviously not an easy lead. It's him.
No. Yeah, it's obviously not as easy as it looks. As he makes it look, for sure. But definitely there the other day when I seen the first quarter come up like 24 and change, and you know 47 and change half where he was uncontested, but really had a confident feel come over me that, you know, if I seen that signature move that he does when he goes into the turn and sneaks away on him a little bit, that he was definitely going to be tough to catch down the lane. And then When he opened up a few more lengths on him midway down the lane, I thought, oh, they're not going to get him today. Keeneland has always been a little bit of a nemesis for him because it's such a long stretch and he's been caught on the wire a few times, but you could see the other day that he definitely was clear and there was no one going to get to him. So that was very... Terry was super excited. I think CVG had him on the cam. So, yeah, it was great. Great. It was just love Keeneland. Maker's Mark's always been a great race. I've always wanted to win it. Been second in it for the last few years, and it was sweet to knock it out.
Very much so. And, you know, even though the grade ones, the Shadwell and the 46, have been elusive, he still has run very well there. I mean, he's only off the board once, you know, that was under the toughest of conditions. And so now, you know, 2 wins, 3 seconds and 6 Keeneland tries. It cuts back to the mile as well. And it just shows that with this maturity we've talked about the last couple of years, he's become even more versatile off the 9-furlong win. I suppose, do you think about trying the Woodford or do you wait?
No, I think that might be back a little bit too soon. But I do think, and without being negative to the horses, I just don't think they've got the strongest group out of California at the moment, particularly as far as speed goes. So we might go back out there for the Shoemaker and have a crack at that. And then, you know, I'll give him his routine little break after that and try and get him ready for the 4-star Dave and back here for the Shadwell and hopefully continue on to Churchill for the Breeders' Cup this year. But, you know, when I think about the Shoemaker and the group that he faces out there, like he's only beaten a neck or a head in it last year, and he was in a complete press the whole way, I don't think they've got them sort of horses out there this year. And it's a win and you're in. That'd be a nice thing to get, you know, take care of early in this season. And then concentrate on trying to get him to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, this performance, I was watching from Hot Springs, and there was any reason to believe that there would be more pace challenge. I mean, between Ohm and potentially, I suppose that I think on Friday we talked that, you know, somebody else might want to press a little bit. It seemed like the pace would be, you know, would be a challenge, and yet Julian set up shop and knows him so well. And as you said, when he spurts away, everybody else is left in a panic.
Yeah. So that's what I think that think the plan with him would be, God willing, everything stays good with him, and there's no reason to say it won't, because he's been a lovely sound to us as I knock on my head to tap some wood. That's what I think we'll do. We'll probably really consider the shoemaker, give him a little break, freshen him up for the four-star Dave and the Shadwell, and then over to Churchill.
Excellent. Let me ask about the progress since we talked last off the Gulfstream win. We talked about, you know, the potential for a stallion career for him and what progress there's been. Now, you know, now a grade one winner at a mile as well as the mile in the eighth. How have those conversations proceeded?
Well, obviously, Steve, there's been a lot more interest as he, you know, he showed he wasn't a one-trick pony because he's always ran well at Gulfstream. He's always loved that course down there. So it was just a shame this year that he, you know, and we talk about unpredictable things with these horses, and he popped in the gates in the Fort Lauderdale. A lot of people had said to me after that, you know, maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore. Maybe it's time to, you know, he's trying to go the wrong way. But I'm always been confident with him when he throws a little hiccup like that and it doesn't go his own way. He can get a little pouty, and he's smart enough to know, I'm not going to catch him today. Let me just save my energy and I'll come back at him. But so after the, for him to validate the Gulfstream Park handicap with the maker's mark, there certainly has been some interest in him. Japan have reached out a little bit. Prior to the maker's mark, I ducked home to Australia to talk to a farm that's very interested in standing him down there. And while I was there, I was able to take in the Golden Slipper and watch Winx run, which was
nice.
was a cool little getaway for 10 days. And so we've got interest in him. And, you know, there has been a little bit of interest in him coming out of Maryland, because Maryland racing's starting to turn around now, and the breeding programs and their incentives up there. So I don't know, it'd be sort of cool to see him stay here. But the farm that's interested in him in Australia, that, you know, they've got a big group of their own brood mares, and you know, they'd guarantee him 60 of their own mares straight up. So that'd sort of be exciting too, and he'd probably fit their racing down there quite well. But I think, and then the hard part is, Steve, is when do you say enough's enough? I mean, as we said at the beginning of the show, maybe his seven-year-old year and his eight-year-old year might be his two best years. So, God willing, he just stays sound for us and keeps showing that he wants to do it like he did the other day. And I think, you know, his stud career might be still on the back burner.
Well, there's also the Hamiltons that get to enjoy having a
exactly.
horse like this. You know, you don't
exactly.
you don't have to rush him off, and I mean, whatever happens afterward happens.
Yeah, I mean, John Henry, you know, he was a horse of the year at eight, so it's not out of the realm of things to say they don't get better and can hold their form into their senior years in their race career.
No doubt. And in the meantime, here you are with the Hamiltons, with another English Channel colt, and this is tearing it up that we're going to see at the end of the week.
Yeah, he's first on the also. I hope he gets in, because his race in Florida, he sort of broke a bit green, broke from the outside, and he just sort of got engaged a bit late, showed some interest. But since then, he's trained on like the, you know, you always say the light went on, and some nine times out of ten, the light never goes on with him. But him, he has. He's trained really good since. He came back with a real strong breeze here on the dirt the other day. So I'm looking forward to running him.
Very good. I hope you do get in. And off and running at Keeneland. And you got the New York outfit rolling along as well. And Brian, another grade one for the big horse, or in this case, the not-so-big horse. But
yeah.
His heart,
the little big horse,
exactly, with the heart not just on his sleeve, the heart's on his forehead, and he's got so many fans. Brian Lynch, stay warm, talk soon.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks.
Always great.
Brian Lynch, one of our absolute favorites, and what a job he's done with this horse. It is astounding. As just maintained form for this period of time, not just maintained form, but, I mean, to literally be at his best now is hard to, it's hard to fathom at the age of seven. 35th career start, and now in terms of dollars and cents, going to be, did he hit? Let me see. Did he hit? No, he's just a little under $2 million. Amazing. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and talk about another older horse that is flexing muscles at age four. City of Light, a big winner for the Warrens and for Michael McCarthy, who I guess some of us, including me, didn't want to believe that he was going to stretch out with a plum, but he did. And Drayden Van Dyke, by the way, you want to talk about nice rides. Drayden Van Dyke was terrific with City of Light. And Quality Road. Quality Road's been very good to Michael McCarthy. And I say that because not only was McCarthy there, he would have been, yeah, he would have been with Todd at that time. But Illuminant, McCarthy's Grade One winning filly with Eclipse is a Quality Road. I think, yeah, I think she's a Quality Road. But now another nice one. Three nice stake wins. And City of Light is going to set his sights on a stallion-making race with the Met Mile. Michael McCarthy for a quick visit before Johnny D. And as I mentioned, Tim Layden after Johnny to pay tribute to Bill Knack. And I'm going to send out the link to Layden's beautiful homage at SI, SINow.com. Then later. What is later? Oh, Brian Bouye from the Hall. We've got the Hall of Fame announcement today. We'll see who's going to enter and be enshrined. Back after this, Michael McCarthy.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races and back visiting with Michael McCarthy, who has been a regular visitor since the start of the Santa Anita meet, and in obviously City of Light is a big part of that, but not the only part of it. And the win at Oaklawn, really a big box checked off as McCarthy develops this Son of Quality Road, a 107 buyer winning the Oaklawn handicap, and did it very impressively from a visual standpoint. Great ride by Drayden Van Dyke, and a big win for the Warrens. Michael, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
This was everything you said it was going to be. Let's be honest. You were absolutely convinced, and anybody that would listen, that he was going to stretch out, and you missed the prep, but you took a grade one home anyway that in that spot, and now you know what else he's capable of.
Yeah, I guess it all accidentally worked out. You know, we would have liked to have gone back there for the Razorback. Weather wasn't great, just didn't seem to be an ideal move for us. So we rerouted to the Triple Bend, lucky enough to get a grade one there. Spacing was a little tight, 35 days between the Triple Bend and the Oaklawn Park handicap, but seemed to work well for him.
The way in which he did it, to me, over and above just winning, I mean, it might have been one thing if he had gone to the lead and, you know, led them around and held off whoever. This was even more impressive because of the way he rated, and then when he basically told Drayden Van Dyke, let's go, without ask. And I saw Victor Espinoza working accelerate, and Drayden hadn't asked for anything coming to the stretch off the turn.
Yeah, just the way the race unfolded, you know, we kind of stutter-stepped there at the break, missed it just by about a half step. And obviously Hedge Fund kind of did the same thing as well. So we found ourselves being able to go ahead and sit right outside the speed, getting a comfortable trip. Never really had the opportunity to tuck in at any time, but it always looked like, at least for the first five-eighths of the mile, that Drayden was in a very good position, but always had plenty of horse underneath him.
Very much, and it really also is a credit to, I mentioned this earlier this morning, a credit to the job the track super and his team did, that track, whatever path you were in, if you had the horse, you could win.
I can't say enough nice things about the people in Hot Springs, the people that ran Oaklawn Park, certainly the track superintendent, to the outriders, to everybody, to the paddock attendants. They were more than helpful, very accommodating. So it was a great experience all around there.
You talked very, you know, much, I would think, predictably about the Met Mile and the way in which things are coming for him. It feels like, you know, this is a strike while the iron's hot situation. The timing is good. The cutback to the mile stallion making race, even though he's already done enough to earn a stud career, it feels like you couldn't have laid this out any better. Oh, we lost Michael. All right, we'll get him back. Stay real quick. Yeah, get him right back.
this really, you know, quality road. And it's interesting that a horse like this could is basically helping make his own stallion more attractive, but at the same time, this is, you know, this is a unique chance for City of Light when it comes to the Met Mile. Michael, I was just talking about the way things have come together, and you know, stringing these performances together, the timing is perfect for the Met, and obviously he'll stamp himself as a stallion distinctly with another good performance there.
Sure, we've got 2 months to get ready for that. I think, you know, we've got plenty of options later on this summer with the Breeders' Cup being at Churchill Downs in November. I'm not sure how many times we want to put him on a plane through the spring and summer, but the Met Mile is obviously could be our next objective, yes.
You spoke about Mr. Warren and the Warrens and how important this is for him. His quote that I saw to a couple of different people that he was getting frustrated, and he is known as a tough owner, a guy that is can be demanding. But it's obvious what you said, how happy you were for him to get a horse like this, and how happy he seems with what's going on right now.
Certainly, I think that might be the most enjoyable thing about all this. He's put a lot of money into the game. He's been an owner of mine for close to 4 years now. So to have this kind of experience with him has really been a delight. You know, he does a lot of things for a lot of people behind the scenes, philanthropy, health-wise, healthcare-wise, hospitals. Just a lot of good things for a lot of good people. So I'm very happy to be associated with him and to have a friendship with him. It means a lot to me.
Another portion of this, Quality Road, who you had to be around and probably got on, seems, is it coincidental that your two biggest horses so far are Quality Road's son and daughter?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that worked out, but I'm glad it worked out for us. I'm glad we're in the right place at the right time with both of these horses. Just coincidentally, they both happen to be High Quality Road. But if you've taken a look at the three offspring of Quality Road we have here, Illuminant, who won the Gamely 2 years ago, City of Light, and a nice filly we've got Paved here, he certainly stamps them pretty well. So they kind of stick out in the crowd.
Well, we're looking forward to what comes next for City of Light and the potential in New York, Met Mile. You mentioned Paved, and I'm glad you brought her up. Kind of a result, a little bit of a frustrating situation in the Providencia. Come out of that, what's next?
You know, we're going to try to circle the wagons and head to Belmont Park in July. I wasn't totally disappointed in the way she ran. It was a little bit of a new dimension for her. On paper, the race did not have a whole bunch of pace. She sat right off of the leader basically the whole way around there. She finished the final quarter in like 23-3. The winner was obviously very impressive that day. It looked like she was shot out of a cannon and had a fairly decent resume in her own right. So I think maybe if the race would have set up differently for us, we would have been able to get some cover and make one run. Maybe it would have worked out a little bit better, but we all learn from this and we move forward.
And you bring up a great point, because being concerned about the pace, it left her by attending and chasing Ms. Bad Behavior, it kind of left her without her usual late punch.
Yeah, I guess in my mind I was just expecting her to win, and when she got to the leader so easily coming to the quarter pole, I really thought she would kind of, you know, take it to another level. And she was a little bit even through the lane. The fractions that day were fairly brisk, and for her to lay as close as she did, you know, maybe it did take a little bit of sting out of her. We've got plenty of time. We've got plenty of options. So we'll just keep on focused on her, and hopefully we lead her over there next time and she's as good as she can be, and everybody sees what the kind of filly that I really think she is.
Well, Michael McCarthy, things really going well, and
the win at Oak Lawn. Terrific next step, two-turn opportunity debut for City of Light, and things continue forward. I don't sense that you mind me calling you on a regular basis.
No, I don't. I don't. I guess if you're calling, that means you're doing good things. So please keep calling.
I love it. Michael McCarthy, everybody. And clearly going to have is en route to a very big year. And City of Light on his way, it would seem, to a stud career. I mean, by a prominent young sire, and one that the top two earners that McCarthy has fashioned so far, both City of Light and Illuminant. Well, City of Light will blow past a million with his next check. Big win on Saturday. And Accelerate ran great. I mean, the Accelerate ran fine. I don't think if John Sadler and Costa Ronis and team Victor Espinoza, I don't think they would have done anything differently. City of Light. Sometimes you miss the break or you start a little slow, and it hurts you. Sometimes you see another dimension of your horse. Hour two at the doorstep, and Johnny D will join us next. Tim Layden, after Johnny, to pay tribute to Bill Knack. And I just sent out a link to Layden's really sweet and intimate portrait of Knack, who, of course, not only did Tim get to work with him, but it was a colleague before that, and Knack, somebody that was very kind to to young writers, and he was special individual, and you can tell by the reaction to his passing how respected and appreciated Bill Knack has been. Back after this, Johnny D at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.